Bebus Papam.
On May 8th, 2025, history was made.
Dominum Robertum Franciscum, Sancte Romanae Ecclesiae, Cardinalem Prevost.
For the first time ever, an American was elected Pope.
La pace sia con tutti voi.
But in his first address, Pope Leo XIV didn't reference his homeland, nor did he speak in his native English. Instead, after opening words in Italian and before closing prayer in Latin, the Chicago-born Pope spoke in Spanish.
Y se me permiten también saludo.
And gave a very special shout-out to Catholics in a South American country.
A mi querida diócesis de Chiclayo en el Perú, donde un pueblo fiel ha acompañado a su obispo, ha compartido su fe.
That impromptu moment at the start of this first ever American pontificate was a telling one. Because although Pope Leo is a deep dish pizza eating, baseball enthusiast from the United States, who understands American culture, faith, and politics better than any other pope in history, you may have to travel elsewhere to get a more complete view of who he is.
This is Chiclayo, Peru. And while it's a world away from both Chicago and Rome, you can't begin to understand who Pope Leo really is without being on the ground here, in the country where he spent more time as a church leader than anywhere else.
I'm Jonathan Lee, and I traveled throughout Peru to learn how this South American country shaped our American Pope. We retrace the steps Leo took during his nearly 20 years of ministry in Peru, speaking to the people he knew, visiting the communities he served, and getting a taste of the culture and the faith of a country that played a pivotal role in making Leo who he is today.
Un peruano de corazón, como se dice, ¿no? Peruano de corazón.
Because although Pope Leo XIV may be from the United States, the people of Peru claim him as one of their own.
Do you think of the Pope as more of an American or more as Peruvian?
Es más peruano, como él mismo ha dicho, es más peruano que la papa.
Es un peruano porque aparte tiene DNI.
Se siente más peruano porque vive toda su vida desde joven aquí.
Por eso yo creo que es un peruano.
And they believe that Pope Leo's experience in Peru is now guiding his leadership in Rome.
La misión nos forma, y yo pienso que también en él hay un pedacito de Perú que le ha formado.
Join me as we explore Pope Leo's Peru. Ordained in 1982, Pope Leo XIV has been a priest for 44 years. And of those 44 years, about 20 of them have been spent in Peru. Known as the Land of the Incas, Peru is a vast country, larger than France and Spain combined. Its population of 35 million people is the fourth largest in South America. The country is a fascinating mix of contrasts. Indigenous culture with Spanish colonial influence, Catholic roots with rising secularism, concentrated wealth with widespread poverty, and coastal deserts with Andes Mountain highlands and the Amazon rainforest. For Pope Leo, the distance from his hometown of Chicago to Peru is roughly 3,500 miles. And his three missionary assignments in Peru were far from the capital city of Lima, in the northern part of the country. First, he served for 1 year as a young missionary in the remote city of Chulucanas. Then, only a couple years later, he was sent to the bustling port city of Trujillo, where he was a pastor and community leader for over a decade. And finally, about 15 years later, Pope Leo returned to Peru as the Bishop of Chiclayo, where he served for almost 9 years. How did the Chicago native end up in Peru in the first place? Because he first was a member of the Augustinians of the Midwest Province. Following the call of St. John XXIII, the Midwest Augustinians established a missionary presence in northern Peru in the 1960s. And when the young Robert Prevost became an Augustinian priest in the 1980s, his budding skills as a canon lawyer and his knack for foreign languages were seen as important gifts in the missions.
churros.
Pope Leo's first stop in Peru was here, in Chulucanas, a small remote city in the northwest part of the country. Now, Pope Leo was only here for 1 year, but what he experienced in Chulucanas and the people he encountered would change the young American missionary's life forever.
The future Pope arrived to this rural outpost, famous for its pottery and agriculture, in 1985. He had just turned 30 years old, but the situation in northern Peru was far from a beginner's assignment. Flooding caused by El Nino storms had ravaged the region that year, while unrest caused by the Maoist group The Shining Path was plaguing the Peruvian countryside. In the midst of this crisis, Father Prevost jumped right in. His administrative skills proved vital in helping to bring order to the vast ecclesial territory. But the young priest also had a particular focus on serving the local youth, keeping them out of trouble, and guiding them in their relationship with God. We met up at the town square of Chulucanas with several men who had served as Pope Leo's altar boys 40 years earlier. They told us how the American missionary was different from other priests they knew.
His example was very humble. For example, he would take a day off, disappear in the morning, go visit low-income people, very poor people, and he wouldn't tell anyone. He would give them food.
The future Pope also employed a creative strategy for keeping the youngsters out of trouble.
Father Roberto would call us to meetings on Saturday evenings, but we as young people wanted to go out to the disco and all those things typical of our age.
But we didn't go out anymore because we stayed with him.
But that doesn't mean that the future Pope was all rules and no fun. He organized activities for the youth group, such as sports tournaments and trips to the beach. And this former altar server recalls that on one occasion, the young missionary took the group for a somewhat surprising outing, a rock concert.
¿Qué banda?
Grupo Río de Perú.
Y entró.
And he came in. He came in and had fun with us. I mean, he took us to the concert and got tickets as a way of rewarding us for something we did. And he didn't want to come in, but we encouraged him, and he came in with us and stayed at the concert.
But more than fun outings, what Pope Leo's former altar servers remember most about him was his friendship and his faith.
When we had spiritual questions, he would analyze it and then give us the answer. He wasn't the kind of person who would say, no, not this, without taking the question seriously. Instead, he would slowly lead us to the answer. From that experience with Father Roberto, I wanted to become a priest. We all had that feeling.
The same care for the youth that animated the young missionary in Chulucanas has reached new heights in his ministry as Pope. In August 2025, Pope Leo XIV made an appearance at the Jubilee for Youth just outside of Rome. The Holy Father told the crowd of young people that in the age of artificial intelligence, they must seek authentic relationships.
Queridos jóvenes, vogliatevi bene tra di voi, volersi bene in Cristo, saper vedere Gesù negli altri. L'amicizia può veramente cambiare il mondo. L'amicizia è una strada per la pace.
And delivered a similar message to the one he imparted to the altar boys of Chulucanas 40 years before.
Aspirate a cose grandi, alla santità, ovunque siate. Non accontentatevi di meno. Allora vedrete crescere ogni giorno in voi e attorno a voi la luce del Vangelo.
During that year in Chulucanas, Pope Leo XIV lived here at St. Joseph the Worker Parish as part of a small Augustinian community. Father Nyler, a current member of the community, showed us around the humble interior.
Okay, so this is where Pope Leo lived for his 1 year in Chulucanas.
And although we couldn't bring a camera in, we were permitted to go up into the room Pope Leo had stayed in during his year in Chulucanas. It was, in a word, chiquito.
It's little more than a bed and a place for a desk, but
for Padre Roberto, who was moved to be a missionary, to move to preach the gospel, that was enough for him.
And Pope Leo wasn't alone in his missionary work in Chulucanas. In particular, he was mentored by a fellow American, an Augustinian named Father John McNeef. Father McNeef was known as El Padre de los Pobres, the Father of the Poor. A longtime missionary, he served in northern Peru for over two decades.
People who knew him tell you about his pastoral work, the mission he carried out, and how he treated people. And so, I think he left a mark on them.
Father McNeef died in 1994, and his remains are here in Chulucanas. His cause for canonization began in 1999, but even back in 1985, Father Robert Prevost had a sense that his mentor was a holy man.
Father Prevost used to say, that Father McNeef is a saint. Look now, Father McNeef is going to be a saint, just as Father Robert Prevost predicted.
Canonization that Father Roberto might now approve as Pope Leo. And just as Father McNeef inspired Pope Leo, the young American missionary inspired those he served.
Faith was a word he always used. And I believe that even today, the word faith is the most important thing for him.
Hector Camacho was the leader of the altar servers during Pope Leo's year in Chulucanas. He served Mass for the future Pope here at Sagrada Familia Cathedral and traveled with Pope Leo to surrounding villages where the American missionary celebrated Mass and befriended the locals. And Camacho says that Padre Roberto's witness changed his life.
Incredibly, we were struck by how such a young person could be so devoted to Christ, so devoted, so full of the simplicity of the people. Because here in Chulucanas, even more so than other places, we are country people, a friendly people, as you might say. And that made us see him as a person who was a leader in the church.
Camacho shared that even after leaving Chulucanas in 1986, Pope Leo remained in touch with many of the members of the youth group. He kept tabs on their progress and in some cases even helped fund their college studies. And when Pope Leo returned to Peru a few years later for a different assignment, Hector was able to reunite with his mentor.
I was overjoyed. Father Roberto was overjoyed, and he came to Chulucanas after a bit.
Vino a Chulucanas después de tanto tiempo.
And I remember that whenever I saw him, I would start crying. Father Roberto was a person full of positive energy, with a tremendous positive aura. He still has it. All the people who have lived with him, who have been close to him, feel it.
In fact, Pope Leo even accepted a request to serve as the godfather of Hector's daughter, Mildred, who had been named for the American missionary's late mother.
I was delighted to make all the arrangements, and he came and was present, not as a priest celebrating Mass, but as a godfather. We were very happy. Father Roberto stayed with us from 7:30 or 8 p.m. when the ceremony began until 1 a.m.
Now in her 20s, Mildred Camacho finds it a bit surreal that her godfather is now the Holy Father.
I still can't internalize that the same person I've admired since I was very young, because my dad instilled in me and showed me and taught me and told me everything he did throughout his life, I still can't believe that he is the Holy Father, even now.
And she also feels honored that Chulucanas has played a small role in preparing him for his current mission.
Something we say a lot is that he fell in love with his pastoral work here. He saw many people devoted to their faith, and he felt the call here. How wonderful it is to say that Peru has shaped a pope.
Y qué bonito decir que Perú ha formado a un papa.
It's a view shared by others here in Chulucanas.
Chulucanas is where it all happened. This is where he took his first steps as a priest, where he developed himself. When you finish university and go to work for a company, those are your first steps in everything. He finishes his priesthood in the United States and came directly to Chulucanas to develop himself, to practice, to see how it was, and we were lucky enough to accompany him in that work.
And
I think in that sense, the Pope learned a lot, perhaps here in Chulucanas, about reality. You have probably noticed how people are on the streets. That sort of simplicity that exists. And it's easy to imagine that this has left a mark on them.
When Pope Leo left Chulucanas in 1986, he went to Rome, where he completed his doctorate in canon law. Regarded for his sharp intellect, the young priest could have likely stayed in the Eternal City as a professor. Instead, he came right back to Peru, one of his most formative pastoral experiences.
When Pope Leo returned to Peru in 1988, he came here to Trujillo. The future pontiff stayed in this large port city for nearly 11 years, making it not only his single longest stay anywhere in Peru, but also a crucial period for his development as a pastor.
During those years in Trujillo, Pope Leo served in a variety of roles. He taught at the local seminary, served as a judge on the diocesan tribunal, and pastored local parishes. But one of his most formative roles was within his own community, as an Augustinian prior and director of formation.
This is the room of the Pope.
Brother Edgar, a young Augustinian in formation here today, showed us into the Pope's former room.
¿Podemos entrar?
Por supuesto, bienvenidos.
On display are some of the vestments and the habit Pope Leo wore during his decade at this Augustinian house of formation, as well as the canon law books he used in his work at the archdiocese. But around the room are some other mementos of how he lived his life as a member of the community.
These are some unpublished photos from the community. They really represent his community spirit, his experience as a friar, his experience as a brother here in the order.
The snapshots also highlight other moments from Pope Leo's ministry in Trujillo, including celebrating Mass for the community and participating in demonstrations for social justice. Even as the leader of the community, Brother Edgar says that Pope Leo embodied the Augustinian spirituality that is still lived out at this house of formation today, pursuing prayer and study, but also communal life, drawn close to others and sharing his true self.
This espíritu alegre.
A cheerful, approachable spirit he has always shown. And here it's evident, it is in his way of life.
La forma de vida de él.
Como esta.
Y todos, ¿no?
Yes, like this one. And in all of them, no? You can see the charisma of the Holy Father there, can't you? A very approachable charisma, sharing with his brothers, sharing his life, his birthdays, his stories, sharing that feeling of brotherhood, right? That which unites us. And that also inspires us as new generations very much.
That experience of community life in Trujillo is something Pope Leo has carried over to the Vatican, not just with his teaching, but with his actions. After the papal apartments went unused by Pope Francis for 12 years, Pope Leo has moved back in. And he had the space renovated to accommodate a small community of priests with whom he lives, including his Peruvian secretary, Father Edgar Ivan Rimaicuna. They pray together, share meals, and enjoy recreation, just like Pope Leo did with his brothers in Trujillo. But during his time in Trujillo, Pope Leo didn't just build community with his fellow Augustinians. He also built it with the local people, quite literally. In 1988, Pope Leo was entrusted with the pastoral care of a local community, which would eventually become St. Rita's Parish. As Liliana and Jose recall, the young missionary took a leading role in getting the fledgling community going, including organizing the people by zones, smaller communities within the parish who shared faith together.
So he managed things like the little bees, the bees that are working. But he wasn't just making the worker bees work. Rather, he brought all those worker bees together, gathered them, united them into one, into a single unit.
But when Pope Leo first arrived, there was just one problem. They didn't have an actual church building.
He'd say, Let's celebrate Mass. We already have our little tent, a hut that's been made with wreaths and a little mat and so on. And so he'd celebrate Mass in that little tent, and we'd come.
The community had plans drawn up for a church, but didn't have the money to buy the blueprints from the engineer, which were needed to get a permit. But Pope Leo told the community not to worry, and instead turned to God in prayer.
He told us, I've said my prayers, I've asked for it, everything has been done, and we're not going to pay, because he told us not to pay him anything. I mean, the priest was truly a man of true faith, a father in the fullest sense, a religious man through and through, the kind of priest we never expected.
The Padrecito, or little priest as he was called, was also concerned with evangelizing at a time when Catholicism in Peru was beginning to show signs of decline.
He made the church reach out to the community, to the people.
Because religious devotion was already on the decline here. There were already many Protestant churches, and that was gaining ground. So he would tell us, there are many Protestant churches. His idea was that we had to take the church out into the world. We had to bring the church to people. So I would think to myself, but I don't understand. How can we take the church out when each one of us is the church? But he would say, we have to take the church out. It has to go out into the world. We can't leave it behind.
As the Holy Father, Pope Leo is now sharing that same message of evangelization on a much wider scale, as he did in this video for World Mission Sunday.
Let us commit ourselves anew to the sweet and joyful task of bringing Christ Jesus, our hope, to the ends of the earth.
The Pope has also emphasized that evangelization occurs through attraction, encountering others and sharing a joyful witness of Christ's love.
Spiritus Sanctus.
In Peru, Pope Leo lived this out through his closeness to his people, never using his priesthood as an excuse to remain distant. Liliana told us the story of when the future pope stopped by her house for lunch, but the dining room wasn't ready.
I said, Father, I'm sorry. And he said, don't worry about it. And we had lunch in the kitchen. He wasn't looking for special treatment. No. He was very simple. And that's really all I can say. This priest was so calm, so humble, so kind, so charismatic.
And the couple take pride in knowing that Pope Leo's decade of service in Trujillo served as an important part of making him who he is today.
Chiclayo made him pope, but his foundation, his roots, were also in Trujillo. He was taking shape.
Here he built his career. Here, on this journey through the entire north, he laid his foundation.
The view that Pope Leo has been profoundly shaped by his time in Peru isn't just one that Peruvians have. It's also one that the Pope himself has expressed.
I'm obviously an American, and I very much feel that I'm an American, but I also love very much Peru, the Peruvian people, and so that is a part of who I am. Half of my ministerial life was spent in Peru, so the Latin American perspective is very valuable to me, and I think comes out also in an appreciation that I have for the life of the church from Latin America.
In fact, Pope Leo says that this perspective helped him connect with another Latin American church leader, Pope Francis.
Which I believe was significant in both my connection with Pope Francis, my understanding of some of the vision that Pope Francis had for the church, and how in some ways at least we can continue to carry that on.
In 2023, Pope Francis tapped then Bishop Prevost to lead the Vatican's dicastery for bishops before making him a cardinal, moves that proved pivotal in Leo's election to the papacy in 2025. But the two had met long before, in the 2000s,
when Pope Leo was the prior general of the Augustinian order and Pope Francis was the Archbishop of Buenos Aires. In fact, their relationship got off to a rocky start when the Augustinian leader blocked a clergy assignment the Argentinian Archbishop had requested. But when the two met again in 2013, shortly after Francis was elected Pope, the Argentinian remembered the American's strong leadership and his grasp of the Latin American context. Soon after, he gave Leo his next Peruvian assignment, Bishop of Chiclayo. In 2014, Pope Leo came to this vibrant northern diocese, first serving as apostolic administrator. And although he technically couldn't hold the office of Chiclayo's bishop until he became a Peruvian citizen in 2015, he was consecrated a bishop at Chiclayo's St. Mary's Cathedral on December 12, 2014.
But there's a twist. The day before he became Bishop of Chiclayo, Pope Leo spent the night in prayer, but not in the main cathedral. Instead, he was here in the small, forgotten town of Sanya, praying before the relic of a very special Peruvian saint.
Pope Leo kept vigil here before a large relic of Saint Toribius of Mogrovejo, a 16th century archbishop called Santo Toribio and known as the Apostle of Peru. Father David Farfan is the pastor of the local parish in Sanya, and he brought us into the chapel that houses the relic.
This is the oratorio, we call. It's the very holy place where we have the relic of Toribius. And the same relic that we are appreciating, the Pope Leo was also praying.
He even asked to borrow pajamas so he could spend the night in prayer with the saint.
And the following day, he officially took the office as a bishop in Chiclayo.
Why did Pope Leo have such a strong devotion to the 16th century saint? Because in many ways, he was following his lead. Like Pope Leo, Santo Toribio was sent to Peru as a missionary. Born in 1538 in Spain, he served as the second Archbishop of Lima. Upon arrival, he translated the catechism into local languages like Quechua, defended the rights of indigenous peoples, and walked thousands of miles across Peru to evangelize. And Father Farfan sees several connections between Santo Toribio and how Pope Leo served Chiclayo as bishop.
Both of them knew that they were foreigners. And the kind of approaching people when you are a foreigner and understanding this, because I was a missionary too, is not imposing things, but understanding, listening.
In fact, a poster at the local parish describes Pope Leo as having a corazón toribiano, a heart of Toribio. And Pope Leo is keeping his devotion to Santo Toribio alive in Rome. When the bishops of Peru visited him at the start of 2026, Pope Leo told them that it was providential they'd come during the jubilee year marking 3 centuries since Santo Toribio's canonization, and held up the Peruvian saint as a model of fidelity to God's word and evangelistic zeal, urging Peru's bishops to be as close to their people as Santo Toribio had been. The bishops left Pope Leo with a gift, a tondo depicting the saints of Peru, including, of course, Toribio. As bishop, Pope Leo returned often to Sanya, which is about 30 miles outside of Chiclayo. The town's connection to Santo Toribio goes beyond a simple relic. It's also the place where the Apostle of Peru passed away and was originally buried. A local historian led us to his original tomb and explained that in Santo Toribio's days, Sanya was a hub of missionary activity.
According to history, Sanya once had 18,000 inhabitants, a city that was 100% religious.
Including Pope Leo's own Augustinians, who lived in this massive convent. And Father Farfan says Santo Toribio has served as something of an inspiration for Pope Leo during his time in Chiclayo and beyond.
He already is following his steps.
In some cases, quite literally. As a Peruvian bishop, Pope Leo traveled often to the remote villages of his diocese, sometimes making part of the journey on a horse or a donkey. But in most cases, he used a different mode of transportation. Soon after his arrival in Chiclayo, Pope Leo invested in this Indian-made 4x4 vehicle. We took a ride around Chiclayo with Father Aaron Meca, who uses the truck for his own parish ministry today.
This is a big car. It's a strong car. It seems like it can endure a lot. So why did the Pope pick this car?
It's curious that he chose a four-wheel drive truck. Because our life is a complicated road. A road on which we get up, we fall down. And we need a truck that is an all-terrain vehicle. And the Pope has asked us to be all-terrain priests, like this truck that has to reach every corner of the diocese.
Chiclayo is a large diocese, including not only an urban area of nearly 700,000 people, but also far-flung villages tucked away in the Andean highlands.
So getting to these communities is indeed complicated, above all because of the roads. Sometimes the road only has one lane. On the left you have the hill, and on the right, the abyss. In the rainy seasons, the tires slip and skid.
And in some cases, Pope Leo's 4x4 was the difference between him reaching his people or not. Father Aaron told us about one such story in 2023, when the rainy season had caused the La Leche River to flood, blocking Pope Leo's path to a new priest's first mass in a remote region.
And the bishop said, "Hey, we can get across. We have good trucks, and we're going to get across. And that's it." He ventured out first. He drove in with the truck, crossed the river even though the water had risen, and he got across.
Pope Leo spoke about the moment at the new priest mass. And now, as head of the Universal Church, Leo is continuing with the same all-terrain mentality. In his first year as Pope, he has already visited his flock in distant places like Turkey and Lebanon, and made an expansive 11-day, four-country visit to the African continent. Of course, he's also traveling around in a very different sort of white truck these days, the Popemobile. As bishop in Chiclayo, Pope Leo was especially close to the poor and needy. This parish soup kitchen, named for Pope Leo, is something of a living monument to his charitable legacy. Located at Mary Queen of Priests Chapel in a poorer part of town, it serves about 80 people a day. But the soup kitchen is not only named for Pope Leo XIV, it was also founded by him. And the former bishop is remembered by volunteers like head cook Rosita Ruiz Gomez as not just a supporter, but a friend.
How can I describe such a humble, simple person who, when he was with us, was just one of us? He wasn't the bishop, no. He was just one of us.
Pope Leo founded the soup kitchen in 2019, one of several he started during his 9 years in Chiclayo. The goal was to help the poor in a region where the average household lives off of less than $400 a month, and to help Venezuelan migrants who had recently arrived to Peru in desperate need. When funding for the soup kitchen came up short, Pope Leo contributed personally, and even got the local military to help out with construction. The future Pope blessed the soup kitchen at its grand opening, and even celebrated one of his birthdays here.
As I said, he didn't see this place as far away or too dirty for him. No, he came, he blessed it, he blended in with us, really.
The soup kitchen is part of Pope Leo's larger legacy of care for the poor in Chiclayo, a major priority during his time as bishop.
He always taught us at Caritas, as its name suggests, the importance of charity, to be the caress of Mother Church for her children, to be close to the poor and compassionate to their pain.
Yanina Cesa was the director of diocesan charities under Bishop Prevost. She says he led by example, helping out during El Nino flooding, securing oxygen facilities during COVID, and even dishing up meals himself. Cesa says Pope Leo always emphasized the connection between prayer and service.
He always told the Caritas team, Spirituality is important. Formation is important. But it is very important to go and help people when they need us.
And for him, it wasn't just about serving the poor, but also learning from them.
Como él decía, los pobres nos evangelizan.
As he used to say, the poor evangelize us. And it's true. He liked to go to the communities, to the villages, to the remote areas, because he saw the richness of the people who may not have had material possessions, but were very welcoming, very affectionate.
Pope Leo's experience with the poor of Peru is clearly impacting his approach in Rome. His first major papal document, the Lexi Te, urged Catholics to focus on loving the poor, calling it an essential path to holiness and a requirement of true worship. Bishop Edinson Farfán is Pope Leo's successor in Chiclayo. He told us that the Pope's experience with the poor of Peru helped shape the Vatican document.
Although it is true this exhortation was already worked on by Pope Francis, Leo adds his special touch and his experience as a missionary in Peru and the richness that exists in Latin America.
In America Latina y el Caribe.
But for Pope Leo, serving others wasn't just a personal commitment. He also wanted it taught here at the Santo Toribio Catholic University in Chiclayo.
That is why our university classrooms offer courses on the social doctrine of the Church, because we want all students to understand this, because it's a Catholic university.
We attended an event at the university honoring Pope Leo's higher education legacy in Chiclayo, and learned that Pope Leo wasn't a distant figure at the university. In fact, we were told that as the chancellor, he regularly worked here on campus.
And he has always encouraged the university to renew itself, to be attentive to the signs of the times in order to respond to the challenges of today's world. And one of the values we always need at this university is to educate for the vocation of service so that our students have that missionary vocation of service of being able to go out into the world.
But as Bishop of Chiclayo, Pope Leo didn't just serve the people. He also embraced their culture, including by learning their languages.
I remember that at Caritas, we'd offered a Quechua language course. Because in those areas, they spoke Quechua and Spanish. But in some areas, only Quechua. And when we looked at our enrollment list, there was Monsignor Robert as a student, wanting to learn the language so he could converse more with the people.
Pope Leo also connected with the people via food. We stopped in at El Trebol, a restaurant near Chiclayo's Cathedral that Pope Leo used to frequent, and tried out one of the Pope's favorite breakfast meals, a dish called frito.
We need to try it.
Inside the kitchen, we were showed how the tasty dish is prepared.
The part we use for frying is pork shoulder. Pork shoulder is the part that comes from the bottom of the meat. We already have it. We marinate it for 8 or 9 hours.
Next, we sat down to eat, taking our strong Peruvian coffee black, just like Pope Leo did.
Very good. Nice and strong.
And cutting off a bite of this papally approved pork.
The flavor is really incredible of the frito. You can really see why the Pope loved this so much. I would eat this every morning, too.
El Trebol's owner fondly recalls his papal patron.
He was a customer who wasn't very demanding. A normal customer. Polite, simple, a good eater. He liked to eat. He ate everything. So, no, he wasn't a customer who stood out for being picky. You served him, and he received it with great affection.
Tú lo servías, y él lo recibía con mucho cariño.
And says that a taste for frito isn't the only thing that Pope Leo picked up in Chiclayo, a city known as Peru's capital of friendship.
I think Robert Prevost found not only people of faith here, but also friendly people. I think this encouraged him even more in his faith to focus more on the mission he had in his heart, which is to follow the apostolate of Jesus, teaching and doing good works.
de Jesús.
Part of being close to his people as bishop meant embracing the religious devotions of Peruvian Catholics. For instance, Pope Leo promoted recognition of a local Eucharistic miracle in the city of Ate, and participated in Peruvian devotions like El Señor de los Milagros, the Lord of Miracles. The devotion centers on an image of Jesus from the 17th century, known as El Cristo Moreno, or the Brown Christ. Painted by an African slave in Lima, the image survived an earthquake in 1655 and became an icon of God's miraculous power. In the month of October, devotees called Nazarenos wear purple, a sign of penance and humility, and take part in fervent processions throughout Peru as the image is carried on a giant platform through the streets. Women with thuribles of incense lead the procession, while the faithful follow in song and prayer. And the devotion even made its way to Rome this past year, with Pope Leo, of course, taking part. But beyond these devotions, Pope Leo's time in Chiclayo was marked by steady, everyday spiritual leadership. And the bishop was a constant presence here at Chiclayo's spiritual heart, the Cathedral of St. Mary. Father Fidel Purisaca explained to us that as a bishop, Pope Leo was a normal part of the parish ministry team here at St. Mary's, where Eucharistic adoration is offered throughout the day and eight masses are celebrated each Sunday.
He was always close to the faithful. Every day he ministered to the people after Mass, before Mass, and during Mass itself, delivering homilies rich in theological, moral, and pastoral content. The church was very well cared for by Monsignor Robert Prevost here at the Cathedral of Chiclayo.
Those who served with him recall that for Pope Leo, serving the people through the sacraments wasn't an imposition for the busy bishop. Rather, it was something he sought out.
During Holy Week and before Christmas, as he saw many people, he would enter a confessional anonymously and hear confession, and for long periods of time. No one knew he was the bishop, but he heard confessions because he wanted to exercise his priesthood.
Father Jorge Millan adds that while Pope Leo embraced local customs, he always prioritized celebrating the liturgy according to the guidance of the Universal Church.
He knew how to live the liturgy well. He lived it well. That is, there were no strange or unusual things. On the contrary, he asked us to be very faithful to the church.
For example, Father Millan said that when Pope Leo noticed his priests hearing confessions without a stole, he insisted that they wear the proper liturgical garment.
So he has always been a man of the church. What the church says, that's it.
Lo que la iglesia dice, eso es.
This same sensibility has carried over to Rome. From the very start of his papacy, Leo has restored many papal protocols set aside by his predecessor. For instance, wearing the red mozzetta after his election, and leading the faithful in Latin chant.
Alleluia.
Another quality that has marked the start of Leo's papacy, an emphasis on unity.
Good news to announce the gospel.
The Holy Father made church unity the theme of his homily at the Mass inaugurating his pontificate, celebrated just 10 days after he was elected Pope.
Fratelli e sorelle, vorrei che fosse nostro primo grande desiderio una chiesa unita, segno di unità e di comunione, che diventi fermento per un mondo riconciliato.
As Pope, Leo has helped to heal divisions in the church through listening widely, appointing a range of advisors, and reaching out to groups that have felt excluded. Unsurprisingly, it's an approach he perfected as a bishop in Peru, where unity was a focus from the start.
Yo recuerdo la primera reunión de sacerdotes.
I remember the first meeting of priests that he attended in December 2014. He gave a talk and touched on this fundamental point of unity. He used a document by Pope St. John Paul II, Tertio Millennio Adveniente, which speaks precisely about unity. And he reflected on this aspect of communion that should exist in the church and between the bishop, the priests, and all the faithful in general.
In fact, while Pope Leo is well known for having the motto "In illo uno unum," meaning "In the one Christ we are one," it's actually a motto he first officially adopted as Bishop of Chiclayo. But in Peru, unity wasn't a mere slogan for Pope Leo. It's something he lived out as Chiclayo's shepherd. For instance, Bishop Farfán rejects media narratives that when Pope Leo arrived in Chiclayo, his goal was to dismantle the longtime influence of Opus Dei.
Look, many people have said he came to undo what had been worked for, to set it aside. That is a lie. It's a lie. He came here to be a pastor of communion. He united religious people, different spiritualities, all in the Church of Communion, everyone, all together.
Todos, todos.
And Pope Leo's emphasis on unity came out in another delicate situation he dealt with as a new bishop.
When he arrived in Chiclayo, he found many priests in irregular situations.
¿En qué sense?
In a cohabitating relationship.
Vida de concubinato.
The Diocese of Chiclayo wouldn't comment on this topic, but sources in Peru told us that when Pope Leo arrived in Chiclayo, he inherited a difficult situation. Clerics who were living with women continued to present themselves as priests in good standing and said they wouldn't stop as they had no other income. Others, however, wanted the men cut off from the church completely as they'd violated their vows. But Pope Leo took a more measured approach, in some cases helping the former priests find employment so they could transition to the lay state and the crisis could be resolved.
No los botó, no los sacó.
He didn't throw them out. He didn't remove them. But little by little, those people left with the love and attention, not only of the bishop, but also of priests who helped them. In other words, the bishop didn't come to expel, and nothing more. No, no. Calmly, things are sorted out, little by little.
We heard a similar story when we traveled here to Callao. A coastal diocese close to Lima, where Pope Leo served as apostolic administrator in 2020. During that time, the church in Callao was experiencing deep divisions after its previous bishop resigned prematurely. Pope Leo responded with his trademark, listening.
La gente le recuerda por su capacidad de escucha.
People remember him for his ability to listen. He listened to everyone, priests and lay people alike, and that made a deep impression on them. The fact that they were heard. We bishops are often rushing around, but sitting down to listen is a virtue, and people remember him for it. The priests, too, for having been heard.
Los sacerdotes también por haber sido escuchados.
Bishop Herrera, who came to Callao in 2021, served alongside Pope Leo as a bishop in Peru for 7 years. And he says the pontiff was also an effective voice here, in Lima, the seat of Peru's national government. Despite being a foreigner, Pope Leo was elected as the vice president of the Peruvian Bishops' Conference in 2018. In that role, he advocated for the protection of minors who were being exploited by foreign companies.
And he went by helicopter to these rugged and remote areas of southern Peru because there were very serious problems with mining companies that needed to be resolved.
Que eran necesario resolver, ¿no?
And he, as bishop, was present.
Como obispo, estaba presente.
Estimados hermanos, hermanas.
He also established new guidelines and governing bodies for the protection of children and addressing accusations of clerical sex abuse. Bishop Herrera notes that though Pope Leo is now called the pontiff, he has always been what that word means.
Pontiff, of course, means bridge builder. And did you see that style as a bridge builder during his time here in Peru?
Es una persona muy equilibrada.
Yes, he is a very level-headed person, and that helps him build bridges rather than glossing over issues. He builds bridges. He listens a lot. And his ability to listen in particular helps people trust him.
A que las personas tengan confianza en él.
But as a bishop, Pope Leo was also firm when needed, such as in this tense moment in 2018, when he was blocked from a local shrine by a group that was holding unauthorized liturgies. The crowd stood in his way, but the bishop didn't back down.
Hermanos, hermanas, es mi deber. Es mi deber como obispo de la diócesis preocuparme por el culto católico.
And that same quiet strength has already shown up in his pontificate amidst a very different confrontation.
I'm not a big fan of Pope Leo.
In response to President Donald Trump's attack on Pope Leo over the pontiff's calls for an end to war in Iran, the American Pope responded with serene strength.
I have no fear, neither the Trump administration nor speaking out loudly about the message of the gospel. And that's what I believe I am called to do and what the church is called to do.
In Chiclayo, Pope Leo lived this call to gospel fidelity out by upholding the church's teaching on controversial issues.
And on the issue of morals, sexuality, and everything else, he upheld what is right, as the church teaches. There was no break with tradition. On the contrary, he was faithful to the teachings.
And Father Mian expects that Pope Leo will lead the Universal Church through whatever challenges it faces with the same principled patience.
El Papa Francisco ha abierto las puertas de la iglesia para todo el mundo.
Pope Francis has opened the doors of the church to everyone. People entered. Now Leo XIV is sitting down with the people and begins to say to them, this is the gospel, this is not from Christ. I have let you in, I understand you, but now listen to me. It is not my message, it is Christ's, for which I am responsible. That is the teaching. So, little by little, he has always been like that.
Throughout his time in Peru, Pope Leo called the lay faithful to participate in the church's mission. And as Bishop of Chiclayo, he was a big promoter of synodality, Pope Francis' signature initiative that has deep roots in the Latin American church. But Pope Leo's empowerment of the laity never came at the expense of another group he oversaw, the clergy. In fact, Chiclayo's priests underscored how remarkably close their bishop was to them. Visiting them on their birthdays, reaching out at the loss of a loved one, and always making himself available.
Because when we needed him, for example, all we had to do was pick up our cell phone and send him a message. And if he were busy, we waited a little while, but then we got a response from him. If we needed to talk to him about something more private, he would say, I'll wait for you at such and such a time. And many times he would go beyond his normal schedule when it was urgent and when we needed him. And he would say, do you have time, or shall I come see you?
¿Tienes tiempo, o yo voy a verte?
He was always available, and that availability also fills us priests with the desire to be available to God's people.
Llena también a nosotros a estar disponible también al pueblo de Dios.
Now, as the shepherd of shepherds, Pope Leo's love for the priesthood is evident, shining through in symbolic ways, such as restoring the tradition of washing the feet of priests on Holy Thursday. As Bishop of Chiclayo, Pope Leo was also close to the men in formation here at Chiclayo's major seminary, which explains why, when he was elected to the papacy, the reaction at the seminary was so memorable. We visited the very room where that viral watch party took place and relived the moment with a seminarian who was there.
When they said there's white smoke, we all came here to see the result. So we were gathered here, and when we heard the name, we weren't sure, because there were two or three candidates, I think, with the same first name. But when we heard the last name of the cardinal, we all jumped for joy. We all shouted. We were very excited here because he was bishop here. So many of us knew him, and he was so close to us, so we were very happy to hear the news when he was elected pope.
Of course, those who had known Pope Leo throughout his time in Peru have their own stories from that joyful day when the missionary who had walked with them became the pope of the Catholic Church.
It was just as I'd imagined it might be when they announced his name. It was such a great joy. We all cried tears of joy and wanted to hug everyone.
I called my dad right away. Dad, he won, he won. What, what? Yes, my godfather is the Pope.
Mi padrino, mi padrino es el Papa.
La pace sia con tutti voi.
Usted puede creer.
Can you believe that a quiet priest who once came into my house and ate lunch in my kitchen would suddenly become the Pope?
Yo no me lo creo.
I don't believe it. I don't even believe it myself.
Yo no, yo misma no me lo creo.
Es la primera vez.
It was the first time I had ever experienced that feeling of crying with joy. I started jumping around, celebrating and crying. I even said, thank you, my God, thank you. You now have the best ally here on earth to help with this work.
Because while they know that Pope Leo is now the shepherd of the Universal Church, they also know that he carries what he experienced in Chulucanas, Trujillo, and Chiclayo with him as the Holy Father in Rome.
Mission shapes us. It helps us understand how things are. It leads us to encounter God. It also makes us much freer people, capable of serving others. And I think there's also a little piece of Peru within Pope Leo that has shaped him.
When I see the Pope, I personally continue to see Bishop Prevost, our bishop who is here. Of course, he has much more weight upon his shoulders and many more responsibilities, but that's how it is.
And Peruvian Catholics believe that the Holy Spirit helped the College of Cardinals get it right when they elected Cardinal Robert Prevost as Pope Leo XIV.
Pater et Filius et Spiritus Sanctus. Amen.
And how wonderful, how beautiful, let's say, that it was our Father Roberto who was chosen, a source of pride for all of us, as they say, a true Peruvian at heart, as they say. And for our part, we are proud that he began, started out, and came to Peru. That's right, it was God's will that this should happen.
And forgive me for saying this, because I am sure there must be more Prevosts among these cardinals. There could not have been a better choice than Father Roberto as His Holiness.
And they hope they will see their beloved friend once again, here in Pope Leo's Peru.